It's just a couple of minutes after 8 o'clock, and Wednesdays at 8 means only one thing. Laureen Gilbert, President CEO of Wealthwise Financial Services, comes in for the Wealthwise moment. We talk about all things economic, and this morning, man, do we have a lot of stuff to talk about. Welcome, Laureen. How are you today?
Good morning, Ed. Doing great. Good to be back.
It's great to have you back. You sound refreshed. You just sound wide awake and ready to go today.
I am ready to go. I had a nice little vacation last week, so it's good to be back.
Fantastic. Can I share with the audience the two things that struck me that you did? May I share?
Sure, okay. Sure.
So on the same vacation, you were able to swim with dolphins and ride a camel.
And where else can you do that but Cabo?
My goodness. That must have been a lot of fun. And I wonder, do you have a preference? Did you prefer dolphins over camels, or which one was more fun?
You know, both of them were fun, but I have to say the dolphins was certainly unique, you know, to just be able to be so, you know, close to them, and it's just really fun and different.
Yeah, every time I'm out here on the kayak, if I see dolphins come by, I think to myself, yeah, they know stuff that we don't.
Right, they're so smart.
Yeah, they really are. Well, that's what we think about you, so thank you for being here this morning and discussing sure. All things. We're going to talk first about the Senate's massive $1.2 trillion infrastructure package that really marked a big bipartisan achievement after just months of negotiation. Some of the things in it that might surprise some people are a broadband upgrade, electric school buses, addressing racial discrimination in infrastructure. What can you tell us about this package?
Well, I'll tell you what's significant is that it certainly was bipartisan, and that's such a positive note, Ed, you know, in a such a polarized society that we're in, to have both sides come together. So that is the best part of it, I think. And, you know, we've been saying for a long time, infrastructure, both sides can agree that infrastructure is needed. And so specifically, $110 billion for roads and bridges, $66 billion for rail, $65 billion for broadband, as you mentioned, $55 billion for water system. And what investors need to think about is how can this influence some of their investing decisions. But one thing I want to note is a lot of this has already been priced into the market since the beginning of the year. All the kind of infrastructure play in industrials has somewhat already taken a lift. Now, since it was announced, we saw a little bump there as well. So just being careful. But I think the interesting part, most interesting, just thinking about from an investor standpoint, is this idea of the water systems and kind of the water play more than maybe some of the other ideas or plays or other ideas that kind of support infrastructure that may not have been priced in. So just those are some points that I would make on the infrastructure bill. Also, as you know, they addressed cryptocurrency, right. And this is the first time, you know, from Congress that it's actually been in any kind of legislation. And the idea is to require any kind of transaction to be reported so that people are responsible for the taxes on that. Because, of course, there is a tax bill that is due, and that should be regulated.
Okay. So these new tax requirements might raise $28 billion in new revenue to help pay for this infrastructure package, correct?
Right. Right, right. You know, and so I hadn't seen that actual number on how much it potentially is in revenue, but that makes sense. The idea is that people have kind of skated away from potentially paying taxes, and now there's going to be a transaction, just like when you buy and sell your stocks or bonds or any kind of investment, there is a transaction that's reported to the IRS. Now it should also occur on these other currencies.
Okay. And one of the things that surprised me was the delaying of a drug rebate rule to help pay for this for the infrastructure spending. It's going to delay the implementation of the previous administration's rule that would radically change how drugs are priced and paid for in Medicare and Medicaid. And that's expected to save $51 billion. Can you tell us a little more about that?
Yeah. And so, well, my understanding is that it's being replaced right now with a point of sale discount until they can figure it all out. But that was something that was implemented in the last administration, the Trump administration, and now it's being delayed once again, like you said. These are different ways, in a sense, they have to figure out how to pay for these things. And so when they're trying to find ways to do that, of course, the pharma is not happy about that. And of course, could mean that people pay more in a sense for drugs. But like I said, they're going to get a point of sale discount. So hopefully they'll figure this out sooner than later.
Okay. And we
where the real taxes, and you're probably going into this now, where the real way to pay for things comes in is in the secondary infrastructure bill, the $3.5 trillion.
Right. Oh, how great. See, look at this chemistry that you and I have. You knew exactly where I was going. Yeah. Because just this morning, just a few hours ago, a $3.5 trillion budget resolution was approved. Expand on what you were just saying there for me.
Yeah. So in this package, we're talking about alternative infrastructure versus physical infrastructure. So the bipartisan bill was focused on physical infrastructure, and the secondary, like you said, went through reconciliation, is focused on really the whole Biden greater plan that he had as far as spending. And in that plan, they have to figure out a way to pay for it, and that's where the tax increases are going to be. We still don't have all the details on what that will end up looking like. They just have kind of this framework around it, but that's where we're going to see marginal tax rates increase. We're going to see probably capital gains tax increases. We're going to see corporate tax increases in order to pay for all of these other things that are in there, mainly, around climate and other policy shifts that the Democrats would like to see.
Right. You mentioned what those that they were just a general framework, and those categories are families, climate, healthcare, infrastructure, of course, and jobs, among some other provisions. So investors were waiting the last few days on the inflation report for July, and it grew almost 0.5% in July. Is that that's the same amount as it grew in June? But I remember you and I discussing, and you mentioned that you prefer to gauge it annually. Right?
Yeah, we really have to look at an annual number. And what July showed, it was still 5.4% increase over July of last year. So the same amount of increase as June, but the pace seems to be slowing down, which makes sense because we also think growth is started. We believe we've hit a peak in growth, and that's also going to start slowing down. So it makes sense that inflation, the pace of inflation might be slowing down, which is a good thing, because when we look at what we also heard this week as far as wages and real wages have been going down because increases in wages still have not outpaced inflation. And so in a sense, workers are actually in real terms making less. Same when you look at our treasuries, we've got a negative real yield because the amount of yield that you're making on treasuries, and then you take into account inflation, it's actually negative. And that's all Fed driven, Ed. That's driven by the Fed because the Fed keeps purchasing treasuries, which then drops that yield.
Okay. And speaking of the Fed, what should investors expect by the end of the year? And I guess this is my dumb guy question here. Are we still in earnings season?
So we are in earnings season. It's one of the best earnings seasons that we've seen, which is fantastic. What I'll say is what we see now is we're moving from an early cycle to a mid cycle, and that has implications as far as investing goes. And one of the best areas historically in the mid cycle is communication services, because by this point in the cycle, more people are advertising. So we're looking at companies that are focused on advertising and communication services as an overweight. And then as far as the Fed is concerned, I would expect the Fed to be tapering before the end of the year. As you and I have been talking about, there's been this discussion within the Fed that different presidents have different ideas on when to start tapering, but the tapering voices are getting louder and louder. And as the economy continues to do well and we can continue to see these economic numbers, I would expect tapering before year end. I would also expect a little bit of a taper tantrum. You know, people say, well, isn't that priced into the market already? I say not so much. I think people always win, even with the Fed being transparent, I think there'll be a little bit of volatility, but that is also balanced by the fact that we're getting all this infrastructure money. So the infrastructure money is going to continue to keep propping the markets up in what I call a melt up of the markets. People ask, well, why does it keep going up, up, up? Well, all of the stimulus, all this money coming into the system, and by the way, the infrastructure package deals, both of them, it's going to be money put into the economy over the next decade. That supports the markets. But then to counter that, Fed is going to start tapering. So just expect some volatility and use those volatile times as buying opportunities.
Beautifully and clearly explained. That was gold, absolute gold. And maybe you could explain something to me. I was reading some. I was looking at retirement, an article on retirement. What is FIRE? What is the concept of FIRE with regards to retirement?
Yeah, the idea with that is financial independence, retire early. That's what it starts. Okay. And it's really created a movement. And that movement is to get to financial independence early in life instead of later in life. And so, you know, my generation, it was always looking at retirement as 65, you know, when you're old enough to go on Medicare, or maybe when you're going to take Social Security at 66 or 67 or whatever that normal retirement age is. This FIRE movement is the idea is live on as little as possible now, save as much as possible quickly, and get to retirement at a much earlier age and have financial freedom. And so it's a great concept. It's an interesting concept for people who can do it. And also, it, you know, the benefit is it keeps your spending low, because when people ask me, you know, what do I need to retire? How much do I need? And I always say, well, how much do you spend? Because it's all based on your spending. So if at an early age you learn to spend on very little and save a lot, you're going to be in a much better place later in life. And it does give you more choices. It gives you a choice to maybe live in another country, do traveling. I know people that, you know, kind of are nomads. They travel all over the country because they've done just that.
And am I crazy? And you know me. Am I crazy for thinking I'm never going to retire? I just don't want. I want to work. I love work, first of all. So I can't see myself like fishing and camping. And I'm a non-retiring guy.
No, and that's another thought that people have, and that's great. The only thing I would say is make sure that you do have, you know, you can work the rest of your life, no problem, right, but don't rely upon work for retirement. Right. And the reason is health issues can get in the way of that. And that's the unexpected that people don't oftentimes think about, that you might reach an age where you have a health crisis where you can't work like you did before.
Right. Oh, you're just sound advice. Sound advice. So, Laureen, where can our listeners find you for more of this wonderful sound advice?
They can give us a call at 949-748-1177 or look us up on our website at wealthwisefinancial.com.
As always, it's a pleasure and always refreshing to speak with you, Laureen. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks,
this morning.
Ed. Have a great week.
You too. That's Laureen Gilbert, President and CEO of Wealthwise Financial Services. 8:18 the time on the Mornings with Ed show. Money, 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 money.